Good evening, I am Gary Black with the KUAC News Minor Update. Eclipse mania struck the nation and Alaska this morning as a rare solar event crossed the United States. Fairbanks residents gathered Monday morning at the University of Alaska Fairbanks in hopes of catching a glimpse of the solar eclipse. Even though Fairbanks was not on the path of the eclipse totality and with the heavy cloud cover typical of Fairbanks in August, hundreds of residents nevertheless braved the chilly morning to stand on the front lawn of the Reichert Building on the campus's west ridge to celebrate the event. Telescopes were set up on the lawn in front while a live stream of the full event occurring in Oregon was streamed in the auditorium. The viewing party was organized by the UAF Department of Physics in collaboration with the Fairbanks chapter of the Society of Physics Students. A Sunday morning fire damaged a South Fairbanks business that was once home to one of the city's strip clubs. McKinley Countertops now occupies the building at 2406 South Cushman Street, which was once home to the Gentlemen's Club Reflections. A passerby saw the fire about 5:30 a.m. Sunday, and by 10:30 a.m. it was declared contained, with crews still working the scene. One person was in the building when the fire broke out, but he was able to exit without injury. The Red Cross assisted the victim, as well as aiding fire crews still on the scene. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. The fire is the second to strike at a former strip club. On August 2nd, fire tore through the former Showgirls building on Old Airport Road before fire crews contained the blaze. No injuries were reported in that incident either. The North Pole City Council considers the award of a contract tonight for a plan to protect the community's groundwater. The mayor says it's needed to ensure the city will be able to expand its municipal water system to areas where the groundwater is already contaminated. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
North Pole Mayor Bryce Ward says the ordinance before the council would award a nearly $29,000 contract to PDC Engineers to develop a so-called source water protection plan. The plan would, among other things, enable the city to regulate use of land around the two wells that supply water for its 600 municipal system customers.
For instance, is it appropriate for houses to have private water wells, you know, adjacent to or near those wells? Or is it appropriate for those to have septic systems close by to those wells?
Ward says developing the plan is an important step the city needs to take now because the owners of the vacant land around the wells want to develop it. And he says the city wants to place limits on the kinds of development that could be done there to ensure it won't harm groundwater.
Right now, I think the primary desire for that area is residential. So, you know, do we allow private water wells and private septic systems, or do you require that any development in that area be connected to a municipal system?
The mayor says the source water protection plan also is an important step the city needs to take before it expands its system next year into areas where the groundwater already has been contaminated with the industrial solvent sulfalane. The substance leaked for years from the now shut down Flint Hills Resources oil refinery.
The sulfalane project will almost double our existing customer base. So instead of 600, we potentially could have 1,200 or more customers.
Ward says work on the first two phases of that expansion project would be built next year and phases 3 and 4 in 2019. Flint Hills has agreed to pay 80% of the cost of that system, which is estimated at about $100 million. The state would pay the remaining 20%. Ward says the city may also end up extending its water system to Moose Creek if the Air Force chooses that option for dealing with groundwater contamination in that area caused by Eielson Air Force Base.
The Air Force has to decide what they would like to do with that, and then they also have to find funding.
If the Air Force does agree to expand the North Pole water system to Moose Creek, Ward says he expects work on that system wouldn't begin until 2020 at the earliest. The mayor says anyone interested in offering comments on the Source Water Protection Plan ordinance will have two opportunities at tonight's meeting and the next one on September 4th when the council will consider final approval. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
National Park Service rangers are looking for an Oregon man missing in Wrangell's St. Elias National Park. According to a park news release, 34-year-old Nick Larson was last seen August the 7th in McCarthy. The National Missing Persons Database says Larson told lodge employees and his parents that he planned to go on a solo backpacking trip through the park. The Park Service says an air search was conducted over the Nazina River, McCarthy Creek, and Kennecott Valley on Friday, and that searchers walked a trail near Kennecott to look for Larson on Saturday. And finally tonight, can an Alaska state legislator block you on social media? That's the question before the Alaska Legislature's Division of Legal and Research Services. Representative Scott Kawasaki of Fairbanks requested a legislative report on the issue as some state legislators have been accused of blocking users on social media sites like Facebook or Twitter. Kawasaki said, quote, "I thought just to be on the safe side, we should get some input from the legal side just to figure out what we should or shouldn't be doing." The state's legislative council put forth social media guidelines for legislators in 2011, but those guidelines do not address a legislator blocking or suppressing public comments on social media. Whether a public official's use of a social media account creates a designated or limited public forum is unsettled, and there is no case law governing this issue in Alaska. For more on tonight's stories, visit newsminer.com or kuac.org. I am Gary Black.